Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Alice had almost reached the little house in the wood when suddenly the strangest footman she had ever seen came running up to the front door. He was dressed in the fine clothes of a royal servant, but his face was the face of a fish. He knocked on the door, and immediately it was opened by another footman, with a round face and large eyes like a frog.
"For the Duchess, an invitation from the Queen to play croquet," said the fish footman very solemnly.
He handed over a large envelope and bowed very low. The frog footman bowed at the same time, and their powdered curls of hair became entangled with each other. Alice laughed so much at this that she was afraid they would hear her, and she ran back into the wood. When she peeped out from behind a tree, the frog footman was all alone, so she went timidly up to the door and knocked.
"There's no use in knocking," said the footman, "because, firstly, I'm on the same side of the door as you are, and secondly, they're making such a noise inside, no one could possibly hear you."
There certainly was a most extraordinary noise coming from within the house. A constant howling and sneezing, and every now and then a great crash. "But please," said Alice, "how am I to get in?"
"Are you to get in at all?" said the footman.
"Oh, there's no use talking to him," thought Alice. And she opened the door and went straight into a large kitchen, which was full of smoke. The Duchess was sitting on a three-legged stool in the middle, nursing a baby, while the cook leant over the fire, stirring a cauldron of soup. Alice began to sneeze. "There's certainly too much pepper in that soup," she thought. The Duchess sneezed, and the baby sneezed and howled. The only things in the kitchen that did not sneeze were the cook and a large cat which sat on the hearth, grinning from ear to ear.
"Please, would you tell me," said Alice, "why your cat grins like that?"
"It's a Cheshire cat," said the Duchess. "That's why."
"I didn't know that Cheshire cats always grinned," said Alice.
"You don't know much," said the Duchess, "and that's a fact."
The cook began to throw everything within her reach at the Duchess.
"Pig!"
shouted the Duchess, and she began to sing a sort of lullaby, shaking the child violently at the end of each line.
"Speak roughly to your little boy, and beat him when he sneezes. He only does it to annoy, because he knows it teases. Here, girl," she said, flinging the child at Alice. "You can nurse it a bit if you like. I must go and get ready to play croquet with the Queen."
With the child in her arms, Alice stepped outside. The child then grunted very loudly. And when she looked into its face, she saw that it was turning into a pig. So she quickly put it down and watched it trot away. When she looked up again, she saw the Cheshire Cat sitting on the bough of a tree, grinning. "Cheshire Puss," she said, "I would so like to visit someone. Please tell me what sort of people live round here."
"In that direction," said the cat, pointing with his right paw, "lives a hatter. And in that direction," he said, pointing with his left paw, "lives a march hare. They're both mad."
"But I don't want to go among mad people," said Alice.
"Oh, you can't help that. We're all mad here. I'm mad. You're mad. You must be, or you wouldn't have come here."
Then the cat vanished very slowly, beginning with the tip of his tail and ending with his grin. Alice began to walk in the direction in which the March Hare lived, and soon she came to his house. In the garden was a large table at which the March Hare and the Hatter were having tea. They rested their elbows on the Dormouse, who sat between them, fast asleep.
"No room! No room!"
they cried when they saw Alice coming.
"There's plenty of room," said Alice indignantly.
And she sat down in a large armchair at one end.
"Have some wine," said the March Hare.
Alice looked all around the table.
"I don't see any wine," she said.
"There isn't any,"
retorted the March Hare.
"Then it wasn't very polite of you to offer it," said Alice angrily. "It wasn't very polite of you to sit down without being invited."
The Hatter took his watch out of his pocket and held it to his ear.
What day of the month is it?"
he said, turning to Alice.
The fourth."
"Oh, 2 days wrong," sighed the Hatter. "I told you butter wouldn't suit the works," he said, looking angrily at the March Hare.
"It was the best butter,"
said the March Hare meekly.
"Yes, but some crumbs must have got it as well."
"Suppose we change the subject," said the March Hare. "I vote the young lady tells us a story."
"I'm afraid I don't know one," said Alice nervously.
"Then the Dormouse shall,"
they both cried. They pinched him on both sides at once, and he slowly opened his eyes.
"Tell us a story," said the Hatter, "and be quick about it or you'll be asleep again before it's finished."
"Once upon a time there were three little sisters,"
the Dormouse began in a great hurry.
"And they lived at the bottom of a well."
"Why did they do that?" said Alice. After a long pause, the Dormouse said,
"It was a treacle well. And these three little sisters were learning to draw, you know."
"What did they draw?" asked Alice.
Treacle,"
replied the Dormouse straight away.
"And all sorts of things beginning with an M, such as mousetraps and the moon and muchness. Did you ever see such a thing as a drawing of a muchness?"
"Really? Now you ask me," said Alice. "I don't think..."
"Then you shouldn't talk,"
said the Hatter.
"Quite, absolutely."
This piece of rudeness was more than Alice could bear. She got up and walked off, and the Dormouse fell asleep instantly. When Alice looked back, they were trying to put him in the teapot.
"It's the stupidest tea party I ever was at in my life," said Alice.
Just as she said this, she noticed that one of the trees had a door leading right into it.
"That's very curious," she thought.
"But everything's curious today.
I think I may as well go in at once."
And in she went.